But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying, if you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Yeah, if you're going through hell, keep on moving, face that fire, walk right through it, you might.
County Radio.
Never been one to ask for help. If I need a mountain moved, I'm moving myself. I ain't the church pew regular, twice on Sunday, quote you the scripture kind. I'm far from a preacher, but I'm a believer. Cause every single day before I knew your name, I couldn't see your face, but I prayed for you. Every heartbreak trail went on hope fail. On the highway to hell, I prayed for you. I kept my faith like that old King James said I'm supposed to. It's hard to imagine bigger than I could fathom. I didn't know you from Adam, but I prayed for you. For someone to love me like you do, graceful eyes to see me through, smile that steals me, a heart that heals me, a touch that kills me too. And baby, you're perfect. I guess the good Lord heard it. Couldn't see your face, but I prayed for you. Every tail light fade in the goodbye rain. Girl, even today I prayed for you. I kept my faith like that old King James said I'm supposed to. It's hard to imagine bigger than I could fathom. I didn't know you from Adam, but I
Meet our local community folks making a difference here in Harney County. Join Mindy Gould in studio right now. It's Harney County Live, right here on 92.7 KZHC.
Good morning and welcome, and thank you for listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. I'm Mindy Gould, and my guests today are Tony Savagar and Mitch Baker, and we're here to discuss summertime in Harney Basin. So welcome. So where would you guys like to start? I mean, let's touch base with, it's dry.
Yeah, it's dry. So you can't really talk about this summer without saying a little bit about the spring.
Yeah.
That led up to the summer.
Yes, yes. So have you seen a summer like this before? When was the last time you guys have seen the drought and how it's affected everything?
Well, for me, back in the early 90s, I remember the river being so low and dry, and we went through about, I don't know, 8 years of pretty much dry weather, and everything was pretty dry in the early 90s prior to 93.
Yeah, and then 93 for us, at least the data we have for the research center, was a record year. And as we were talking about earlier, you know, this is kind of Harney County. So 93 was a record high precipitation year, followed by 94, which broke the record for a low precipitation year back to back. So good luck planning with that. It's probably one of those deals where you average them out, and it really looks like it's about an average deal. You know, I mean, that's where averages don't really paint a true picture of what's going on.
So do you guys compare, like, this year that's happening now to what 94 was?
Oh, I can't really remember back how that went. Trying to survive, I guess.
I think what's different this year is we normally have pretty dependable spring precipitation, and I don't remember a year where we had almost no measurable precipitation in both March and April. I can remember a previous year where April was really dry, because we do a lot of reseeding work, and so those months are really important for getting seedlings established on rangeland. And you know, nobody's going to be successful. I don't care how good you are at this stuff if you get no rain, and that's basically what happened. And when the rain started coming, it really wasn't that. It's not like we made up for it. There's years where we've had huge May precipitation years. There was one year where we had a kind of a dry early spring, and we ended up with 4 inches in May. And so it made up for a lot of that deficit, the precipitation deficit previously. That didn't happen this year. And, you know, to make things worse, we had a bit of a snowpack, but we had cold nighttime temperatures. And so that snow came off in bits. So we didn't get that big push of water across the meadows. And it slowed plant growth down, and so I think yields were actually worse than we would have guessed just looking at the runoff alone. I don't know what your impression is, Mitch, but
yeah, pretty much the same thing, you know. It just, water didn't go nowheres. Creeks didn't run very much, and the ground just sucked up everything and nothing really wanted to grow.
So how did the reseeding go this year?
Oh, it was terrible. You know, I mean, so you go out and you do your counts, you know, and we had lots of zeros because things will germinate. If you get a little bit of moisture, the seeds will germinate, but then there's just not enough ground moisture to sustain them. So they'll pop up and die. That's basically what happened to everybody that tried to seed. So this was pretty much a failure year for, I don't know anybody that was successful.
Oh, wow.
Unless you had irrigation water, then, you know, that's a
whole other deal. Well, yeah, the pivots and stuff like that, yeah. But you guys are just out, you're in the basin, so it's just the wildlands. So with it being the type of summer that it is, do you guys tend to see like a pattern of what the winter is going to become?
Well, I don't know. I could say, maybe predict that we might have a rough winter, but we could also, that's a hard one. You don't predict the weather.
Yeah, and we're, I can't answer the question. We're trying to actually, some people I work with and I are putting in a grant to try and look at what those patterns are, see if there is any prediction. So, you know, as we talked about earlier, everybody can remember a year where you had a dry year followed by another dry year. You can probably remember a dry year followed by a pretty wet year. But what are the percentages? I mean, is it more likely to have a particular kind of a year after a dry year, or is it just a total crapshoot? And I just don't know.
Yeah, it's very unpredictable. And we'll know better next year. Come spring, we'll know.
Come spring, you'll have more of a definite answer what winter was like. So you just brought up a grant. You're going to be putting in a grant for this. What is the process of that, of building a grant and getting it together?
Well, it varies depending on what granting organization you're going with. But basically, you come up with the ideas. You're basically trying to convince people that this is a worthwhile project and would be helpful. And, you know, there's all this talk about how we're going to deal with changing climate and all that. That's kind of in the news daily. But we don't do a real good job of going back and looking at the past. I mean, we have our memories, but humans have something called a recency bias. So things that have happened recently stick in our minds more than things in the past, but we don't acknowledge that ourselves. We pretend like we can remember 30 years, and we really can't. We remember, you know, for me, I can remember what I had for lunch yesterday, but probably not before that. So actually going back and looking at data and kind of figuring out what sorts of years have we had over the last 30 or 40 or 50 years, and how do those years group together, and how do we respond as managers to a given kind of year? And when do we have to make those decisions? I mean, that's the other big question. If you're a livestock producer and you're seeing basically the kind of year coming at you that we've had this year, when do you begin culling cows? When do you begin cutting your herd size? You know, those are kind of critical questions for people. When do you get enough predictability that you can begin to make decisions? Those are some of the things we want to kind of address. And do that through looking at data, the weather data, and then asking people how they make decisions, groups of people.
And so what kind of data do you guys go for? I mean, how do you determine, you know, if you get this grant, right, what kind of data do you look at?
There are actually NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, has a bunch of co-op weather sites. And some of them are automated, where they actually collect precipitation, temperature, and in some cases soil moisture data, and it gets telemetried to a site where they store that data. And we can call that up. And we have one of those sites at the Northern Great Basin Experimental Range west of Riley. And so I can't remember when they put that site in. It used to be somebody had to go out and physically collect the data. So there were these little books. And a person would go out and write down the min-max temperature and how much precipitation there was and relative humidity, and he'd send those books in every month. And actually, there's pretty good weather data, in some cases, going back quite a few years. And we have a number of those around the county. We analyzed some of that stuff years ago, and actually, the sites that, for whatever reason, have the longest weather history are mining towns in Nevada. And I have no idea why, but like Winnemucca has about 100 years, Ely, Nevada. There's some of these places, particularly that were around mining sites. And for some reason, in the late 1800s, they decided that gathering weather data was important. And so they made a commitment to it. But so our data, a lot of it goes back to maybe the 30s. And we can find places where it goes back to the 1880s, 1890s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC.
Hello, Robert here from JD Outdoor and John Day. Are you in need of fire protection equipment or supplies? Come check out our wide selection of products from pumps to pants. Yep, that's right. We have fire pants and shirts and boots as well. We can build a pumper that'll fit your UTV to a pickup truck. We also repair pumps and all brands of engines. So whether it is a pumper you need or parts to make it work right, come see JD Outdoor at 727 West Main Street, John Day.
The roads have emptied, only us left. Kids sleeping in back, cat eyes shine bright, white lines roll by. the rhythm of the street lights. Radio hums quietly. Rain starts. Hypnotic wipers. Pull in. Fill up. Ease back into the darkness. The Fuel Commander Network is always open. Over 320,000 locations nationwide. Available from Ed Stobbinson's. 573-2622. Energy. Community. Service.
Help us help you. CAN Cancer of Harney County is conducting an assessment of local cancer patients to identify cancer-related needs and barriers to care. Cancer patients currently undergoing or who have undergone cancer treatment while living in Harney County are encouraged to take this survey, open now through August 13th. Find a link to the online version of the survey on the CAN Cancer of Harney County Facebook page, and paper copies are available at Harney District Hospital, the Health Department, and the Health Clinic on the Burns Paiute Reservation. For more details, call Stephanie Weissman at 541-573-8614.
You get the coffee, we'll get the news. Back to Harney County Live on 92.7 KZHC.
Welcome back, and thank you for tuning in and listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. I'm Mindy Gould, and my guests today are Tony Sevegar and Mitch Baker, and discussing summer in Harney Basin. So we were just talking about a grant that you guys were going to be applying for. And do you have any others that you're working on or any other projects?
Yeah, one of the projects that we've been putting a bit of effort into is trying to map plant communities in the flood meadows using remote sensing. And we just acquired some what we hope will be better remote sensing data than what's publicly available. There was a cost associated with it, but we're trying to get a handle on where we have things like reed canary grass and meadow foxtail, and where some of the maybe lower producing but high quality habitat sites are. So just some way to kind of group out the meadows and get a sense of what's dominating different areas of the meadows. And then so that's valuable because it's a starting point if people are going to change management and say change the way they apply water or something like that. Then we can go back later and see if it really had any influence on the plant communities that are out there.
And some of the plants, though, are not good for growing, and they're kind of like, I don't want to say hazardous, but it's horrible for the crops, correct?
Well, some are. The one that's really expanded in the last, I don't know, Mitch, 10 or 15 years is called reed canary grass. And some people like it okay because it's very productive. But from a livestock feed standpoint, the quality is not very good. And so there are people that are concerned that they're seeing reed canary grass expand and expand, and they feel like the quality of their hay is not nearly what it used to be. So people would at least like to know, if they want less of it, how should they manage things to sort of keep some of those pretty productive but higher quality grasses in their pastures.
And then with like the reed canary grass, I mean, how would somebody get rid of that? I mean, is that burning the fields? I mean, what?
Yeah, that's the big question. So we think a big part of it is that and this is the other thing we want to look at is when does the water come off relative to historical runoff patterns? If we're seeing warming, are we seeing runoff that's, you know, earlier than it was before? So is it possible, and I don't know if that's true or not, but if that's the case, are we keeping water on the meadows longer than we did historically? Because one of the places we tend to see reed canary grass is in places that are flooded for longer. So a longer duration of flooding.
Okay.
So if we start to think about handling water differently, what would it take to do that? You know, what sort of infrastructure do you need? If you want to, let's say you want to put the water on early but take it off a little earlier, How would you go about doing that? Because if they're just low spots and everything else needs to get flooded, then the water is going to sit there until it's done flooding, you know. So there are actually some projects in the Harney Basin where they've gotten a better handle they have better water control. And so now there's an ability to test whether you can improve the quality of the hay by, let's say, taking the water off and putting it back on and things like that, which there's a lot of old data that shows that's your best hay production and your best qualities. If you can put water on, briefly take it off and put it back on again. The continuous flooding tends to cause a lot of species to leave.
Well, since it's been so dry the last couple of years, has it helped with the reed canary grass?
Probably in places. I don't know, Mitch, you ever...
it sets it back, and it doesn't get as tall, or the growth on it isn't as much up around our place and everything, but still it still comes on in all the low places and where you can't really do anything with it, but it doesn't grow as tall and excessive as it does on dry years that it does on wet years, but still it grows up and has them big seeds heads on it, and all them seeds are going to go somewhere and start. So I don't know. It's an endless process of trying to figure out what to do. And
how much more do you think you have now than you did maybe 15 years ago on your place?
Oh, it's probably doubled or more. Another thing that I've seen that's invading a lot of, I've seen it down in the lower part of the, from me, but now it's invading a lot of my meadows, is there's a yellow flower that's a plant that's coming, and it's just taken over a lot of the meadows and stuff. And it's repressing a lot of the good grasses too. And I need to look into seeing what that plant is and what to do about it. But I don't know whether it's came in with the migratory birds or what has happened, where it came from, but it just seems to be starting to take over, kind of like the reed canary grass.
God, just what we need, another weed, right?
Well, with the basin being so dry, have you guys noticed the birds, the migration, has that changed at all?
We don't have quite as many that stayed the summer up there. Like say, we got a pair of cranes that come and they live with us during the summer, and now we got a bunch of turkeys, but they're doing grasshopper control. So between the crane and the turkeys, they're kind of taking care of some of the grasshoppers. So I don't know. The geese didn't stay around very long, and so I don't know what to say about it. We don't have as many geese or ducks either, because
there's
just no water around for anything, so they're going to go where the water is.
Yeah, we have some drone flights from late April, where we took drone flights to get a better visual on how the meadows were, you know, how they looked. Mm-hmm. And even when you were from a road looking out and it appeared that everything was green, when you look down from above, maybe half of the area had gotten water, like at the research center. And I think you got water around, but you didn't keep it very long, right?
It was around, but my creeks backed off, you know, and it was short-lived. And so I was just trying to sustain what I could with what I had there. And there was a lot of high ground that didn't get wet, and the lower fields didn't get wet.
So the birds that needed open water, they would have left early, that would be my guess, because the water just disappeared pretty quick. So they would have had to find some place that had, you know, permanent water, you know, I don't know where, the refuge or wherever they go. But there just wasn't as much standing water for as long as normal. So the birds that required that, they would have had to find someplace else to go.
Perfect. Well, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC.
Do you suffer from hard starts, reduced mileage, poor performance? Is your diesel experiencing plug filters, algae, or bacteria growth? Ed Stobbinson's pre-treats our diesel with power service products, increasing your value and extending your dollar. Improved performance and fighting complications. We call it Extreme Diesel. Today's diesel is not the diesel of your mom and pop, so the challenges we face require new knowledge, equipment, handling, and additives. Call Ed Stobbinson's 573-2622 to learn more about going from having diesel to having Extreme Diesel. Ed Stobbinson's Energy Community Service.
Hello, Robert here from JD Outdoor and John Day. Are you in need of fire protection equipment or supplies? Come check out our wide selection of products from pumps to pants. Yep, that's right. We have fire pants and shirts and boots as well.
We can build a pumper that'll fit your UTV to a pickup truck. We also repair pumps and all brands of engines. So whether it is a pumper you need or parts to make it work right, come see JD Outdoor at 727 West Main Street, John Day.
Harney District Hospital would like to remind you that face covering requirements have not changed in the healthcare setting. For your health and safety, please continue to wear a face covering when you visit Harney District Hospital or any of its affiliated clinics. We appreciate your consideration and cooperation. Thank you for choosing Harney District Hospital as your healthcare partner.
Now back to the good stuff. Harney County Live, here on the new 92.7 KZHC.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to Harney County Live. I'm Mindy Gould, and my guests today are Tony Sevegar and Mitch Baker, and we're talking about the drought and everything and how it's affected the Harney Basin. Now, we've just touched base on, you know, weeds and the control and the grasshopper, all of that kind of stuff. How is this straining people?
Well, most of the ranchers, I see that a bunch of them are, you know, they're having to bring in their cattle early because their range ground is, pastures are gone and there's nothing for them and the cattle. So they're bringing their cattle in early. There's a lot of people that's going to have to sell or are culling cattle pretty heavy. I know I am. I'm not going to keep any heifers this year, and I'm going to probably cull pretty heavy on my cow herd. But with hay prices high and everything like that, I can't sustain it. So I'm probably like many other people. We're just going to cull pretty heavy this fall.
I think things are pretty tough for the livestock folks. You know, a lot of people, Mitch, you said you're probably at a third of your normal hay production.
About a third, yeah. That's all I...
And a lot of people I talk to, it depends where you are and your water rights and, you know, that sort of thing. But overall, it seems like there's a lot of people that tell me they've only got maybe a half to a third, you know, a third to a half of their normal production. So if they don't, if they don't have some carryover from past years that they can feed during the winter, things get pretty tough for folks. And usually for most livestock producers, the biggest single cost is winter feed. And there's just not going to be any cheap sources, it doesn't look like. So that puts people in a real bind.
Wow. Now, we were talking about insects and stuff like that just a little bit ago. Have you noticed an increase in that?
Yeah, I have to wash my windshield a whole lot more than normal if I'm driving around the meadows. But so we've had a number of these grasshopper outbreaks over the years, and the entomologists that work for the State Department of Agriculture, what they've told me is that the egg casts that are laid in the ground by the grasshoppers, that if it gets moist, then there's a fungus that grows in the spring that attacks a lot of those eggs, and you don't tend to see the grasshopper population. So ironically, the dry years are when you tend to see more hoppers. At least that's 20 years ago what those folks were telling me. Because we've had spray programs in the county mm-hmm. before mm-hmm. to kind of control the hoppers. But so here's a case where, you know, maybe you're trying to save a little bit of regrowth. You're going to bring those cows and calves back in the fall, and you're kind of saving a pasture, and you don't pay attention to it for a week, and you come back, and the grasshoppers have pretty much mowed it down. That's really depressing in a drought year already.
Well, so, other than grasshoppers, are there other insects and stuff that have come because or have grown and populated because of this?
No, the grasshoppers would be the main thing I could think
of. That's about all I can think of.
I mean, the only good news is you don't have as many mosquitoes, right? Because you don't have water, but I'll take the mosquitoes.
Yeah, the hoppers, they come in and devastate.
I was going to say, they pretty much destroy the crops.
Yes, that they do.
Well, we just have a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else you guys wanted to to bring up?
No, we just hope everybody joins us in wishing for a lot of snow this winter. Even the sunbirds, you know.
Yeah, and then there'll come the big flood in the spring, and yeah, we'll have to deal with that.
Oh, geez.
You know, if everything goes off right, it can be all right. But
well, if we, you know, with the winter and stuff like that coming up, winter's going to be here before we know it. Is there any projects or anything like that that you guys are working on to calculate, like the snowpack and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, I've been working on juniper projects this summer, and I still got half of one to do, and it's juniper removal plus forest restoration also, and so that's taken some time, which will help in all a lot of different aspects, but that's kind of what I've been doing, and we're in between that and trying to get ready for fall. That's a whole nother series too.
And then Tony, is there any?
Well, we're eternal optimists, so we'll be doing more reseeding work this fall.
Is that common to reseed again in the fall?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Versus just the spring.
Yeah. Well, spring, often if you reseed in the fall and you hope that things, we actually don't want stuff to germinate in the fall and winter because some of the research from this research center here has kind of shown that if you get germination in the fall and then the freeze thaw over the winter, you actually, a lot of your seeds will die. So we like to seed late enough that the soil is cold and you don't get germination, and then those seeds are waiting to go the following spring. So that's sort of our mantra, is that we like to go late enough, but good luck predicting the weather.
Yeah, no kidding.
The snow will insulate the ground enough to
knock on wood.
Not have that. And of course, you start pushing the envelope a little bit and you always risk that the ground's going to freeze up and you're going to be able to do nothing. And we've had that happen too, where, you know, we waited a little long. Well, one year I hit it right. I seeded right before Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving it snowed, and I wouldn't have gotten out after that. So that was, you know, occasionally you get lucky.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and updating everybody in regards to the basin and the dryness and the critters and everything in there. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mindy.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. I'll chat with you tomorrow.
That's another edition of Harney County Live every weekday morning on 92.7 KZHC.
Thank you for calling your favorite fuel company hotline. Press 1 to wait on hold and waste all of your time. Press 2 to have your questions not answered and be transferred to 3 different departments. Press 3 to get inaccurate information on an unrelated problem. Or just hang up and call Ed Stobbinsons and talk to a real person to answer your questions on petroleum products and services. At Ed Stobbinsons, we pride ourselves in building relationships. 573-2622. Energy, community, service.
Harney District Hospital is excited to announce that 2 new doctors will be joining the Family Care Clinic in August. A true Eastern Oregonian, Dr. Lincoln Mosier grew up in John Day and is passionate about providing quality hometown health care. Before going to medical school, Dr. Tim Tetzloff attended Oregon colleges and lived in Bend for a number of years. He's looking forward to living and working in Harney County's tight-knit community. Both physicians provide a wide range of medical services. Call HDH Family Care at 541-573-2074 to make an appointment.
Hello, Robert here from JD Outdoor and John Day. Are you in need of fire protection equipment or supplies? Come check out our wide selection of products from pumps to pants. Yep, that's right. We have fire pants and shirts and boots as well. We can build a pumper that'll fit your UTV to a pickup truck. We also repair pumps and all brands of engines. So whether it is a pumper you need or parts to make it work right, come see JD Outdoor at 727 West Main Street, John Day.
92.7 KZHC FM.